It's the 10th session, but the 9th step of prayer. Session number 10 of 14 in practical prayer, experiencing the delight of a practical prayer life. And these, remember, are 12 steps of cultivating daily delight in personal prayer. And it ought to be daily, it ought to be a delight. The scripture says, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. And that's what we long to see happen, where we can go into a prayer time and simply just, as one friend here says, soak in the Lord. How many think it's a good thing to soak in the Lord? And you do that, by the way, by soaking in his word and in who he is and through praise and worship. And this next aspect is something that I came to realize a lot of people didn't think of doing in their personal prayer time, but can be profoundly significant. And that's singing. Singing to the Lord. This is something I seek to do every day in prayer. I'll comment on that in a few moments. I am not a soloist. I can carry a tune if I'm forced to. At least I attempt to carry a tune. And I enjoy it. But what I'm talking about is, as you see here, it's the act of melodic worship. It's taking melody and putting it with our prayer and worship. The act of melodic worship, and if I were to give you an action focus. And by the way, this is a very critical, to me, statement. Creative adoration. Creative adoration. Say that with me. Creative adoration. And the key word that I choose here is glorification. The act of glorifying. And we do it at a higher level than perhaps any other way. There's something about a song that takes us higher in our worship. So the act of melodic worship. Martin Luther said this, the gift of language combined with the gift of song is given to man that he should proclaim the word of God through music. Beautiful, beautiful statement. Let me give you a biblical basis for singing. A biblical basis for singing. Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Anybody can do it. I'll talk about that more in a moment. Psalm 27, verse 6 is David, a psalm of David when he's at the tent in Jerusalem, and the ark of God's presence has been brought back to Jerusalem after being held captive. To them, it was the presence of God coming back. And this is where David says, then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. They were very expressive in those days in their worship. If we go to the New Testament, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Notice the nuance of the different wordings or expressions. Instead of just saying you can sing to the Lord, singing psalms. By the way, the psalms were all originally songs. They were written as songs to be sung. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. That's creative adoration. That's what we defined this aspect of prayer moments ago as creative adoration. Psalm 126, 5 and 6 links the call to intercession, to the harvest, and to rejoicing in song. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. There's a linkage here of our worship, our intercession, our brokenness to the harvest, and then singing. Psalm 69, verse 30. Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving. I'm giving you a lot of scripture here. 2 Samuel 22, beginning in verse 47 and going to verse 50. The Lord lives. Praise to my rock, my God, the rock of my salvation. Be exalted. He is the God who pays back those who harm me. He brings down the nations under me and, verse 49, and delivers me from my enemies. You hold me safe beyond the reach of my enemies. You save me from the violent opponents. For this, O Lord, I will praise you among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. It's a lot. Let me tell you something, though, what I believe with all my heart. I believe singing in spiritual worship is a dimension that takes us higher in the Lord and creates greater intimacy with the Lord when we literally sing a song to him. There's something profound about it. And it happened in my own life on several of occasions where I think God just broke open doors in my own prayer life through just singing to him. Some of you have heard me tell the story in another teaching of the second occasion of God calling me to a 40-day fast. And I probably have told, when I told it before, I said that when he called me to the first 40-day fast, after about 10 days, I determined with every ounce of my being that I would never, ever do this again as long as I live. I mean, after you fast one day, and that, by the way, the hardest day is the first day, you think, oh, I got to do this 39 more days. Now, I suppose you should not have that kind of an attitude, but I tell you, every vessel in your body comes alive saying we're hungry down here. But anyway, the second fast, when I began it, the Lord spoke to me so clearly. I was at the Wednesday worship at New Life Church. They had it every Wednesday, and I was there in that worship, because I thought, wow, it happened to be what the liturgical calendar calls Ash Wednesday of the Lenten season, and I was praying through 40 days, fasting and praying through till Palm Sunday. And so that first day, I'm in there, and I really hadn't found a focus for my fast yet, just that God had called me to it. And in the midst of that worship, that's when the Lord spoke to me and said, I am not calling you to 40 days of fasting and prayer like you thought. I started to say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh. And he interrupted me by saying, no, I'm calling you to 40 days of fasting and worship, not fasting and prayer. And I said, Lord, I've never heard that expression before. And then he said, well, in Acts 13, doesn't it say in the first few verses, and they worshiped the Lord and fasted, and then they went out and transformed and turned whole cities upside down. Well, to make a long story short on that issue, when I said to the Lord, well, what am I to do? What's different about a 40-day worship fasting and worship than fasting and prayer? And he said, very simply, I want you to sing all of your prayers for the next 40 days. And I'm thinking, if you spend an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever in the presence of the Lord and you sing it all, this is going to be really interesting. Well, it was. But I want to backtrack, because that was the second occasion of a 40-day fast. I've had two occasions of 40-day fast and two other occasions in my journey that were intense. And that was two other occasions in which the Lord called me to spend a month in prayer. Now, it was not fasting in prayer, but that my entire days that I would normally spend in the office and any kind of activity in ministry, he wasn't calling me to pray 24 hours a day. It's physically impossible. But that the heart of every day, all that I would do would be prayer as far as my assignment from the Lord. And the first such assignment began toward the end of 1987. It was the end of November. It was right around Thanksgiving time. And I felt the Lord speak to me very profoundly about confronting the strongholds of communism in Eastern Europe. And it became so powerful that I felt the Lord wanted me to get on a plane and go, at that time, to get on a plane and go all the way, we were in California then, all the way to Berlin, and literally, in fact, this was the assignment I felt he gave me, literally lay my hands on the Berlin Wall and tell it out loud to come down in the name of Jesus. And I mean, I was overwhelmed with this, and I always keep, obviously, an active passport. And so I was ready the very next day to go to Berlin and carry out this assignment. And the Lord said to me, no, you're not ready yet. You're not ready to go yet. And I said to the Lord in prayer, God, how do I get ready? And the next thing that happened was very interesting, because he didn't say directly, you must do this. It came in the form of a question. Now, how many believe God can speak to people today? And I hear him speaking, impressions in my heart. Not necessarily audibly, but as real as if it were an audible voice. And so he spoke to me in the form of a question when I said, well, how do I get ready? He said to me, have you ever considered spending an entire month in prayer in my presence? Well, I knew by the fact that he was asking the question that he was laying out before me an invitation to accept that suggestion, that question. And of course I said, Lord, you know me, you know every aspect of my life, and you know I've never spent an entire month in doing nothing but praying, the same amount of time I would at the office, at my desk, the same amount of time I would in public speaking, that those amounts of time every day I would spend seeking you. He said, have you ever considered doing it? And I started to weep because I knew he was calling me to do it. And I knew the next day or so, I went into the staff that we were working with in the ministry at that time. And I said, you know, this is going to be a little different. And they understood. They accepted it fully. I said, the Lord, I believe, has called me to set aside the next month, the month of December 1987, in prayer. And then after that, I told him, I believe he will release me to go out to Berlin. And so that's what happened. I spent that month in prayer. And I decided to have about four or five things that I would do during that month in prayer. At the office, we had a prayer room then, not as sophisticated as the harp and bowl worship rooms we have here and the prayer grottos on the wall. But we had a special room. We actually called it the Office of Intercession. You know, you have offices for different departments. So we had an office of intercession. It really was just a prayer room. But we would go in there and meet as a staff, and we had volunteer intercessors come at different times during the day and pray with us. Well, I decided to have several different ways of praying that I would spend most of the time that day with others as well. One of them was just like we did a little while ago, a day of Thanksgiving, where we were thanking God. Another day, we spent an entire day verbally with different ones, and it helped me because I didn't have to do it all by myself, but in doing nothing but praising God for who he was. That was an interesting experience. Think about that, praising God for an entire day. But then I decided to have one thing, I had never ever done this before, but was to have an entire day of nothing but singing to the Lord. And so I invited intercessors that I said, if you feel comfortable doing this, from the time we start in the morning to late in the afternoon, we're going to do nothing but sustain a song. Now, it might sound easy to you, but when you start to do this, and everybody, and they're singing songs, you don't, now, by the way, you're not singing just choruses, they're up on a screen or something, and that would be easier, but we're going to spontaneously sing to the Lord. And so we gathered, and there must have been six or eight of us that started, and then some would leave and others would come. A few of them sang for the whole day. We literally sang to the Lord psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and just one would pick it up. Now, the only way you could ever grasp what I'm describing is to be in a setting like that. It was really, really different and unusual. And then it got to be about the middle of the afternoon, and a very interesting thing happened. One of our associates, in fact, who for a number of years was my, really was the administrator to what we do as a ministry and were doing at that time as a ministry, And how would I describe this? He's not a soloist in any sense. I'm not even going to mention his name now that I think of it, because I wouldn't want to embarrass him, but the song, when he began to sing, it was different to say the least. He just picked up a song and his own melody, and I wouldn't call it a really creative melody. And in fact, pretty well everybody else got quiet as he began to sing, "Lord," and I'm not going to sing it because that would, I'm just going to tell it. He said, "Lord, there is a saying that he who makes his bed must lie in it." Now he's singing this. And I'm thinking, where is he going with this song? And then he says, "Lord," he's singing, and he starts to cry. "Lord, we have chosen to make a bed of worship. And we lie in this bed of worship, adoring you and exalting you." And I don't know how this happened, but maybe it was the simplicity of his song, the unusual nature of it, that suddenly something happened to me. And others began to sing. And they were just singing words of adoration and expressing their worship. Now, I'm telling you this, by the way, ahead of time, because everybody smile. You can smile bigger than that. Because we're going to do this at the end of my session now. We're going to do what I'm describing. So others began to sing. You know what? I already have water here, but I thank you for coming all this way. God bless this dear. Because what she did was she said, "You need to take a drink." So I've got this hidden here. So we're all singing. Now we're singing with him. And it was like the Lord just took me in his arms, took me into the heavenlies. I was like I wasn't even there. That was possibly an hour and a half. I don't know how long. I couldn't go back and remember. I just remember about the time he started to sing and about that I arrived at home at a certain time. And then, even though I had been in that worship atmosphere the entire day, I still went into my prayer closet and continued singing to the Lord. But he took me into his arms, into an experience of his presence that I knew I had never seen anything like this. And suddenly I realized that my colleague had, with his very simple, unusual song, released me into something of God's presence. And I was weeping and weeping. In fact, I'll tell you what came to me. It was so powerful. When I went home and went into my prayer closet at home, which really was a shed in the backyard that we put wood paneling in and carpeting and an air conditioner because it turned into a prayer sauna in the summer. And so I was out there worshiping the Lord, and there was a calendar on a bulletin board in this little prayer room. And it was a calendar for the next year, because remember, this was the month of December 1987. And so I'd put up a calendar there for 1988. And in the weeping, suddenly I realized that something, a baby of some sort, something that was to be born, was conceived in that moment of intimacy. And it was so powerful that I knew that what it was that was to be born somehow in that my relationship with the Lord would be a total new direction of our lives, my wife being with me, the two are one. And I knew that in fact, I believed so much in that a seed was conceived, and all I could think of was conception in the human experience, where 9 months later, a baby is born, something new is born. I did something. I took my calendar off that bulletin board, and I counted 9 months to the day. And I had a green felt marker, and I circled that day and wrote there, "Something new begins today." And then next month, went out to Berlin, got on a plane, flew all the way to Berlin without even realizing we lived in California, and it was sunny and warm and beautiful, and I had my members only jacket and everything, and got there, and it was like a blizzard and a freezing cold and 3,000 degrees below zero, which is only a slight exaggeration. And I walked up, I went out to that Berlin Wall, and I walked up to that wall. Some of you heard me tell that story too. Because here I am with this five-word assignment, in Jesus' name, come down. That was one word for every 1,000 miles I flew. And so I walk up to the wall, I'm about to lay my hands on the wall, and then I stop and think, what if someone sees me and wonders what I'm doing? So I looked. You know, I could just imagine going up there and laying my hands on the wall. And some little old elderly German couple walking their dog. This is on the free side of the wall, of course, where all the graffiti was. The other side were the soldiers up in the towers of East Germany, the communist country. And I could just picture these two people walking and the wife saying to the husband, oh, honey, look, look. There's someone feeling the wall. Oh, look now, he's talking to the wall. Must be an American. But I did. And you know, I suppose if I'd have been a great man of faith, have you ever noticed how some, I noticed this years ago, especially how some people have a prayer voice when they're in the pulpit, pastors, and they talk different. You know, when they talk to you, it's, how are you, Bob? Good to see you. And then when they pray, it's, oh, God. You know, I don't know why that is, but, and if I would have been a man of faith, I probably would have just, in Jesus' name, come down. And then run back here. I didn't do that because, of course, I didn't expect the wall to fall. I was talking to invisible powers behind that wall. And I just laid my hands on it and said very simply, in Jesus' name, come down. And then came back home, got on the plane, and wondered. There was almost a spirit of depression that came on me because of a emptiness that, and I felt the forces of darkness just coming. I can tell you what happened though. When I got home, God spoke to me to take a team of intercessors back that following summer to go to communist countries and go 7 times around different communist buildings and things. And you only could do it as tourists. And what surprised me is I was thinking of taking veteran intercessors, you know, real veterans. And the Lord said, no, in prayer, I want them all to be teenagers. That was very interesting to me because that following summer, we took 20 young people, average age, 16 years of age, if you added their ages up, 16 and 17 years of age. And we did. We went around the communist building in Romania where the evil dictator, Nicolae Ceaușescu, one of the worst in all since Stalin in all of Europe. We went around that Communist Party building 7 times. And the following year, that's where he was arrested. The following year, that's where he was overthrown. And we saw on television that very Communist Party building in flames when the revolution took place. And on Christmas Day of that year, he was executed by a firing squad of like 20 men, and I heard hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of soldiers volunteered to be a part of that firing squad. Transition came and just took place, was a sweeping thing that began to take place in those parts of the world. And the Berlin Wall did come down. That same year it came down, the following year after we prayed, and it not only came down, but in the ministry of Every Home for Christ, now I have to stop here and tell you something, because this is the... It's easy for me to get in the midst of a story. There's so much detail that I forget one of the main purposes why I'm telling it. When I circled that calendar for 9 months, I was not the president of Every Home for Christ. I was not even in Every Home for Christ at the time. I directed a prayer ministry called Change the World Ministries, and we did schools of prayer everywhere. But I had been invited onto the board of directors of the ministry of Every Home for Christ. And so the following June, now remember, I marked out these 9 months having no idea what was going to happen at the end of that 9-month period. But I got a call from the chairman of the board. First, I met with the chairman and one of his key other board members, and they just met with me out in Orlando, Florida, and asked if I would even consider letting my name be chosen or being to put before the whole board. And I remember when they asked me that question, something came over me, and God had spoken in my spirit. And really, one of the things he had said to me, and I'm trying to remember the exact timing of this, because the Lord actually spoke into my spirit that they were going to ask me. This was before they did. We got in one night at the airport and went to this hotel, and the next morning we were going to meet. And I remember God gave me a scripture that faithful is he who calleth you who also will do it. He woke me up in the night. And then later I was awakened again, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to guard this vision, the purity of this vision. And I felt that God was releasing me to say to this chairman of the board that God, I think God wants me to be involved in leadership of the ministry. And this is one of the clearest things I remember, was reaching for the telephone to call him and tell him what I felt the Lord say, and putting the phone back down and saying, no, Lord, I can't tell him. You have to tell him. And about 2 minutes later, the phone rang. And the chairman of the board said, the Lord just been speaking to me that I'm to ask you. So that was what I was trying to get out, and because I didn't plan on giving you all these details in this teaching, or I'd have thought through it before even getting up here. But I said all of this because then the board had to meet. The board met in July. Then they had to wait another several weeks as they were having board meetings. And then finally a decision was made to invite me to become the international president. Well, here was the interesting thing. I was running a ministry, and we needed to resolve what to do with that ministry. Do we merge together? Do we give it to someone else? What do we do with it? And so I thought, oh, well, you know, this transition will take about 3 months. So maybe this is now early September. So now I'm looking at thinking about this, and I think, well, maybe by January 1st of 1989, we'll be able to do this. So the chairman of the board, Andy Duda, called me. I remember I was in meetings in Phoenix, Arizona, and Andy Duda called me to tell me that the board has made a final decision, and in a gracious way, it was unanimous, that they would like to invite you to be the international president. Now, this is what I want. I said all of this to tell you this. Forgive me for taking so much time to do this. But when I said, well, Andy, when were you thinking of starting? He said, well, we want it to be quick. Because we just feel we can work through merger thoughts of this one ministry. We've got attorneys that can do this. Well, I said, how quick? He said, how about a week from next Monday? And when I got my calendar out and looked at that day, I said, oh, yeah, that would be the 20th of September. That would, in that moment, I started to weep. He didn't know why. That was the exact date I had circled on my calendar that says something profound is going to happen that day. I said all of that to say, I absolutely believe that something of a song released me personally and others with me into an intimacy with God that has had profound impact. I mean, of course, being close to everything that's happening in this ministry, I know how much more significant it is than even my ability to articulate it. And so I really believe when we sing in the presence of the Lord that there is the capacity to conceive something that will be born for his glory. And so having said all that, let me bring this to a conclusion and give you a summary definition, and then we're going to pray together and worship, and it's not going to be as hard as you think when I say we're going to sing to the Lord new songs. A time to acclaim. You're really doing this in a melodic way. To acclaim means to eagerly express approval. Eagerly. To express approval, praise, or assent. You know, listen carefully to this. You may not have heard this before. The Bible speaks frequently in different places of high praises. What on earth is the difference between ordinary praise and high praise? And I believe that singing falls into the category of high praises. You say, but I don't have a great voice. A.W. Tozer, that great writer, said, "You may not have the voice of a Caruso, but God thinks you're an opera star. He loves it to hear you sing." F.B. Meyer was an incredible Bible teacher of his generation and said, "We do not sufficiently often forget our own petty wants and anxieties and launch down our tiny tributaries until we are borne out into the great ocean of praise, which is ever breaking in music around the person of Jesus. Let a part of our private and public devotion be even dedicated to the praise of Jesus, when we shall break forth into song, hymn, or psalm, or spiritual song, singing and praising Christ with angels and archangels and all the hosts of the redeemed." You know, the hardest thing is you can sing and worship when everybody's singing on a Sunday and enjoy it, but when you're alone, it's something special. Now, here's a prayer application very quickly. Worship with song. That's very simple. I mean, that's easy to find this as an application. Worship with song. Amy Carmichael said, "I sing the doxology and dismiss the devil. I believe truly that Satan cannot endure it and so slips out of the room, more or less, when there is a true song." And here's a life application. Now, how would we take singing? I don't mean that you go out and sing songs to people, you know, walking down the aisle of the grocery store and just, "Oh, I'm going to sing to you now." They'll probably call someone to take you away. But it's do something extra special. Do it. See, that's where this falls. This is creative adoration. Remember, we defined this as creative adoration. Applying this out of the prayer closet is to think and do creative things that bless others. And sometimes these things happen to me. I have little artifacts and things, if you want to call them that, in my prayer closet at home of people that stitched something that had to do with prayer and something we had said somewhere. And, you know, it was a creative blessing. A creative blessing. You can look at the circle here and see that now we've gone through 9 of the aspects of prayer: praise and waiting and confession and scripture praying and watching, intercession, petition, thanksgiving, and now singing. And here's 4 ways to get started and keep going. I'll do this and then we're going to have a time in just a moment. Here are the 4 suggestions to personally apply this aspect of the 12. And here it is. Number one, pause in your devotional hour to sing a specific song to the Lord. That's not difficult. Maybe you haven't done it, but it's something I encourage you to do. Number 2, select a special theme for your song, such as praise. That's to, you're singing to God, acknowledging who He is. Thanksgiving, you're thanking Him for what He's done, but you're doing it in song. Or a favorite passage of Scripture that you might sing to the Lord. Could be, and generally it might be in the Psalms or some other passage that you know of in Scripture that has been an encouragement to you. Number 3, ask the Holy Spirit to create an original melody in your heart so your song is truly a new song. And don't worry about it, is it great or not? Just do it. Number 4, don't hesitate to sing songs of thanksgiving for specific blessings or victories you believe God will give you in the days ahead. A moment ago we talked about this, we actually did it, but the difference is now we're singing it. And look at the ponder point to discuss for just a few minutes why singing to the Lord falls into the category of specialized praise. Some Bible scholars believe, I said this, that references in the Psalms to offering high praises could refer to singing our praises. Why do you think that might qualify as high praise? Why would that be? And then, after that, and I'm going to give a little direction to this in just a couple of minutes, select a favorite passage of Scripture that you are familiar with. If you can't think of a passage, use a psalm such as Psalm 23, 27, or 63. Actually, you could open at random and just look at a passage, and that's a good experiment also. Now, as you look at the words of this passage, begin to softly hum a melody from your heart. After humming for a few moments, sing out the words of that passage you have selected with the melody you have been humming. Don't be ashamed if you think you lack a good singing voice. I want you just to begin to sing out. Now, not only could you sing out a scripture, but you could just sing out praise. Or you could just repeat words of hallelujah, or you are holy, 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 you are worthy, worthy, anything. Now, it'll come natural when we start to do it. So, but first of all, I want you to talk about why singing to the Lord falls into the category of specialized praise or creative adoration. And then, of course, why you think some refer to it as high praises. And so let's do this for just a few minutes.